Father in heaven, we're so thankful today for the breath of life on this first day of the week. And we claim the promise of Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. As your days, so shall thy strength be. As we come into your presence, grant us revival, reformation, and be with us throughout this midday power surge as you have in the past. Bless us now, we pray. Grant us wisdom, knowledge, understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Greetings, salutations. Welcome to this Midday Power Surge, Sunday, May 31st, 2020. Your spiritual oasis on this pilgrim journey toward heaven. Welcome one, welcome all to this Midday Power Surge. I want to thank you all for your patience. Yes, your patience. We had a very long morning, but we are here by God's grace. All right, friends, Jocelyn, Shauna, Joshua, Sherman, Chanel, Mambo, Denise, Antonio. All right, friends, Tamara, welcome one, welcome all to this Midday Power Surge. Friends, I have a lot to cover today based on what's happening in America. This great rage, this great chaos. And I would like for us to allow the principles that are going to be laid out to be understood from the perspective of the Word of God. And friends, let me just say this. Those who are looking for hooks to hang their doubts upon will find them. As we are told in the book, Great Controversy, page 527. While God has given ample evidence for faith, he will not remove all the excuse for unbelief. And those who look for hooks to hang their doubts upon will find them. Friends, Luke 21, and I have my note papers here. Luke 21, the Bible tells us in verse 25 through verse 27, that just before the second coming of Jesus, that there is going to be great distress in the land, distress of nations. And America today is suffering climate change, suffering from even pestilences, financial crises. But now we are seeing race relations crisis in America. Nothing new. It has raised its ugly head again in these last days. And what we want to do is look at what the Bible says, the spirit of prophecy, America's history, as well as world history, as it relates to what is happening even today. Race relations in the context of the three angels' messages. Because we're told the solution is in the Word of God. Ministry of Healing, page 363 says, the gospel is a wonderful simplifier of life's problems. If we cannot find the solutions to all of our problems, which includes prejudice, bigotry, racism, the institution of slavery, then the Bible is worthless. And to think that and to say that would be sacrilege, blasphemy, blasphemous. All right, friends, I want to begin by saying this. In Revelation 13, the Bible speaks in verse 15 through verse 17 that all will be cursed to receive this mark of the beast, rich, poor, free, and bond. What does free and bond mean? Free, rich, poor, free, and bond. Take a look at this statement, my friends. And by the way, let me just say this. We're not going to be able to cover all the points. So this is going to be the first of a mini series. And by God's grace, I am planning to return this evening for a part two. Stay tuned for that announcement. Okay, Christian, to the screen. It says here, a place called Oakwood, page 167, as well as Christian Service, page 218. It clearly says, watch carefully, the ignorant and the wise, the rich and the poor, the heathen and the slave, white or black, Jesus paid the purchase money for their souls. If they believe on him, his cleansing blood is applied to them. The black man's name is written in the book of life beside the white man's name. All are one in Christ. Birth, station, nationality, or color cannot elevate or degrade men. The character makes the man. If a red man, a Chinaman, or an African gives his heart to God in obedience and faith, Jesus Christ loves him nonetheless for his color. He calls him his well-beloved brother. Friends, last sentence. The day is coming when the kings and the lordly men of the earth would be glad to exchange places with the humblest African who has laid hold on the hope of the gospel. And friends, my prayer is we not be found in that group wanting, unrepentant, wicked, filled with prejudice, bigotry, and racism. And let me just add to that. When you look at Revelation 20, we have many individuals who separate themselves based on color and race. They are segregationists. They are unconverted. If they remain unconverted, do you know that they will all unite together, black and white, unconverted, black and white, unconverted, unrepentant, and join with Satan to go and overtake God's city, New Jerusalem, when it descends? What an appalling sight. Men today who are segregationists, others who are filled with hate, being reactionary. If they remain unconverted, unrepentant, they will all unite together one day in the same place to war against Christ and his saved when the kingdom is descending. And they will all receive fire and brimstone. Revelation 20, verse 7 through verse number 10. Now, friends, what, son? My son just said, Christian just said, a most startling point, that there's no segregation in hell. Neither in heaven, I'll add, Christian, my wife just said. Notice, friends, the gospel, the wonderful simplifier of life's problem. It says, these opportunities, this is volume 9, these opportunities will appear. And before I go there, let me just add this. My friends, we are told, because this is going to be a history lesson, we can never fully understand and react and respond correctly to bigotry, prejudice, hate, and racism, what's happening today, unless we understand history, Bible history, world history, U.S. history. So friends, please, the Bible says in the book of Psalm, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? That's Psalm 11 and verse number 3. And we're told in Life Sketches, page 196, for we have nothing to fear for the future except that we shall forget what God has done for us, his teachings in our past history. What are those teachings? Where can we find them? Bible and spirit of prophecy. Okay, let's go. It says, my friends, watch carefully. It says, these opportunities will appear as the southern field is worked and the loud cry is given. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, there'll be a triumph of humanity over prejudice. What do we need, my friends? The Holy Spirit giving the loud cry. Listen, a triumph of humanity over prejudice. God will control minds. Human hearts will love as Christ loved. And the color line will be regarded by many very differently from the way in which it is now regarded. To love as Christ loves, lift the mind into a pure, heavenly, unselfish atmosphere. He who is closely connected with Christ is lifted above the prejudice of color or caste. The work of the Good Samaritan is the example that we are to follow. I'm going to give you a Bible for your feet, my friends. So whatever our reaction responses are, do they align with the Bible? The Good Samaritan is that first example. Do you know what we need? The latter rain, former and latter rain, the Holy Spirit, loud cry. When that is given, we are told. When that is received, we are told. The color line, prejudice, racism will melt like butter before the boiling sun. Furnace of fire. It goes on, volume 9. We are not to agitate the color line question and thus arouse prejudice and bring about a crisis. The light of the third angel's message is to be given, watch carefully, is to be given to those who need light. We are to labor calmly, quietly, faithfully, trusting in Christ, our elder brother. We are not to be in haste to define the exact course to be pursued in the future regarding the relation to be maintained between white and colored people. Let the gospel message be given to the people. Let white and colored people be labored for in separate, distinct lines. And let the Lord take care of the rest. While men are trying to settle the question of the color line, time rolls on and souls go down into the grave, unwarned and unsaved. Let this condition of things continue no longer. I've heard many individuals or some people say that Ellen White was teaching segregationism or separatism. No, friends. Look at the big scope, the overview of her writings. Give men the gospel and let God do the work. Man cannot do that work. We live and present the gospel. And as Christ works, you will see a breaking down of bigotry and prejudice. Let's move on, my friends. Watch this. Now let's come to America's history. This is the Southern Works, page 54. It says, the Ten Commandments reveals our duty to God and our neighbor. Love for God and our neighbor. Blue words. The American nation owes a debt of love to the colored race. And God has ordained that they should make restitution for the wrong they have done them in the past. Those who have taken no active part in enforcing slavery upon the colored people are not relieved from the responsibility of making special efforts to remove, as far as possible, the sure result of their enslavement. So that statement is for individuals who say, I'm living in 2020. I had no part in enforcing slavery upon the colored people. But what are we told, my friends, on the screen? You are not relieved from the responsibility of making special efforts to remove as far as possible the sure result of the colored people's enslavement. Now, friends, let's go now to Luke 21. In Luke 21, verse 25 through verse 27, look at the projection here. Verse 25, signs in the sun, in the moon, that's 1780. Signs in the stars, sign in the stars, that's 1833. Distress of nations with perplexity. That points to the institution of slavery in America, the Civil War in the time period 1863, in that time period. Look at this statement now, my friends. At the conference at Roosevelt, New York, August 3rd, 1861, I was taken off in vision and was shown the sin of slavery, which has so long been a curse to this nation. Then is mentioned the Fugitive Slave Law. What is that? The Fugitive Slave Law. You could read that. Then it says, my friends, last sentence in red words, they have acted a prominent part in bringing America, this nation, into its present, what, my friends? Distressed condition, distress of nations in the 1800s. Then it goes on to say, volume 1, page 264, God is punishing this nation for the high crime of slavery. He has the destiny of the nation in his hands. God will punish the South for the sin of slavery and punish the North for so long suffering its overreaching and overbearing influence. Let me just say this, my friends. I'm giving you the history, America's history. I'm going to come to world history next. America's history and the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, so we can have a foundation. Because many are building without a foundation in how they react, how they think, how they respond to the great heinous crimes against the colored people here in these last days. Where's your foundation? The next point I'm going to share with you, because friends, I'm wondering, the suffering going on in America, could this be a modern day application of God punishing America? Think about that. Type, antitype. Look at this, friends. In the light of Revelation 18, we are told the North have had no just idea of the strength of the accursed system of slavery. Look at the papacy now. In the context of slavery in America, it is this and this alone which lies at the foundation of the war, the Civil War. The South have been more and more exacting. They consider it perfectly right to engage in what, my friends? In human traffic, to deal in the slaves, in slaves and the souls of men. All the abuse and cruelty exercised toward the slave is justly chargeable to the upholders of the slave system, whether they be Southern men or Northern men. That means in both camps, men were guilty of upholding and supporting slavery. In both camps, I want you to understand, even today, you have men who are posing and making speeches as if they are against the modern institution of slavery. What do I mean? Because nowadays, men aren't really being placed in shackles, literally. But policies, and I'll come to some of those, enactments, I'll address those. Legislations from Congress and also the state legislature in all 50 states. I'll come to some of that. But to understand those today, you need a foundation. Come back to the screen. Red words. North and South, they consider it perfectly right to engage in human traffic, to deal in slaves and the souls of men. What scripture is that, my friends? It's Revelation chapter 18. Note this. Chapter 18 of Revelation. Speaking about Babylon in verse 2 and 3. In verse 10, Babylon, verse 12. And verse 12, verse 13, verse 14 says, they were involved in slavery and the souls of men, slaving men physically and slaving men mentally, slaving men spiritually. That's Babylon. Then President Abraham Lincoln spoke about this. You could pause the video and read that speech, my friends. He actually stated it was the Jesuits behind the Civil War, the papacy behind the Confederate States as well, primarily Jefferson Davis. So as it was in the beast, so it was in America that will form the image of the beast, the image of the papacy. The Civil War was a testament of that, a synopsis of that. America forming an image to the beast. And by the way, the image of the beast is church-state union. And you would be remiss to not see that churchmen were in power, influencing civil leaders in both the southern states, in the north, northern power, to support and uphold slavery in that time period. And the Bible says history will be repeated. As in the beast, the papacy, so in the image. That means these men learned well from the papacy. Youth in the papacy has changed. Look at this. There it is, my friends. Blessed Pius, the Pope, 9th, and Jefferson Davis. Let's take a look at this, my friends. Volume 1. Listen what we're told. Listen what Sister White says. It says, Volume 1, 201. When the laws of men conflict with the word and law of God, we are to obey the latter, whatever the consequences may be. Do you know what I see here, my friends? A principle of how we are to stand when the mark of the beast is enforced. And if we cannot make the right choices, react correctly. Now, when we see bigotry, prejudice, and racism, how are we going to stand there? Then, listen, the law of our land requiring us to deliver a slave to his master, we are not to obey. And we must abide the consequences of violating this law. The slave is not the property of any man. God is his rightful master. And man, any words? And man has no right to take God's workmanship into his hands and claim him as his own. Are those points clear, my friends? Now take a look at this. The next point I'm going to share with you is simply this, that there are men even in Congress in the North who were supporting slavery, but they posed as if they were anti-slavery. No, they were anti the separation of the states. And friends, if you understand that, you can better understand or be able to discern many who are making speeches today, even in our churches, who are not anti-slavery, or may I say anti-racism. They are racists in our churches. You wait until I get to those points. in our government racist, but they are simply against division, but they are racist. Look at this, my friends. Volume 1256, it says this. A great share of the volunteers in the army, Civil War, enlisted fully believing that the result of the war would be to abolish slavery. Others enlisted intending to be very careful to keep slavery just as it is, but to put down the rebellion and preserve the Union. And then to make the matter still more perplexing and uncertain, some of the officers in command are strong pro-slavery men whose sympathies are all with the South, yet who are opposed to a separate government. Blue words, some of our leading men in Congress, also are constantly working to favor the South. And then the next few words says, they call for a day, a national fast, national prayer to end the war. No. Isaiah 58, Jesus says, verse 5 through verse 7, is it such a fast that I have chosen? They're opposing as if they were anti-slavery, that they were not racist. No, they were racist. What they did not want was a separation of the Union of States. When you comprehend that, you have many people who are talking now. But what they are really against is the riots, and that only. But they are still racist. Today, I stand before you in God's strength. We are against riots and bloodshed. Need me? Do I need to say more on that point? We're against riots. But not everyone who say we are against riots are against the system of racism. Because they still support the laws in the state houses. And they have segregation even within church movements. Denominations are segregated based on race. I'll come to some of those points. I'm laying the foundation. Let's move on. Look at this, friends. In light of what we just read, generals in the armies, congressmen who were in the North, they were all supporting slavery. All racist. Look at this now, friends. This is May 30th, 2020. The Minnesota governor. 2 minutes. Take a listen to this, my friends. About white supremacists posing as protesters. But they are some of the people who are creating riots in these cities. Not only in Minnesota, in California, and elsewhere. Listen, friends.
Who are these people and what's happening right now in terms of you going after them?
Yeah. John, you want to talk about that?
As we've begun making arrests, we have begun analyzing the data of who we have arrested and begun actually doing what you would think is almost very similar to our COVID. It's contact tracing. Who are they associated with? What platforms are they advocating for? And we have seen things like white supremacist organizers who have posted things on platforms about coming to Minnesota. We are checking to see, do the folks that we have made arrests on and that we have information, are they connected to those platforms? We have seen flyers about protests where folks have talked about they're going to get their loot on tonight. And we're checking to see, are they part of an organized criminal organization? And if so, what is that organization and how are they organized? We have been working with both our state, our county, our local, and our federal partners to start looking at issues around, is this organized crime? Is this an organized cell of terror? Where is the linkage is what we're doing? And so we are in the process right now of building that information network, building that intel effort so that we can link these folks together, figure out what the organizations that have created this, and then just understand how do we go after them legally. That is absolutely part and parcel of our mission. We are, in fact, public safety, and we recognize that there are legal issues that are involved here, but we are not going to tolerate the violence and the destruction that they're using as a cover for the other illegal activity. Mm.
All right, friends.
Names, you're going to release information. How will that happen? What form?
All right, friends. Let's move on here. That's why I can simply say, have you ever heard the term, never waste a good crisis? There is a sinister agenda that's coming. Look at this, friends. Then we're told, I was shown that if the object of this war had been to exterminate slavery, then it desired England would have helped the North. But England fully understands the existing feelings in the government and that the war is not to do away slavery, but merely to preserve the Union. That's it. And the following words say, my friends, that America, who boasts herself as a land of freedom, all men are created equal, is that nation that treat men like mere brute animals, worse than animals. Sister White says, last sentence in the red words, the equal of this sin in America is not to be found in heathen lands. America at this time period was worse. The people were worse than heathens. Those who were racist, supporting the institution of slavery. You think it's any different now? It's worse now, my friends. That's why I'm giving you the foundation. Look at this as we go on. Friends, this is in the context of elections. People are voting, and many are voting in racists, voting in men who are supporting the institution of slavery with policies and legislations in Congress and the state legislature. I mean, the mayors, sheriffs, sheriffs, governors, racist. Look at this, my friends. I'm giving you history. Don't fight history, friends. You're ludicrous if you do so. Many were blinded and grossly deceived in the last election, and their influence was used to place in authority men who would wink at evil, men who would witness a flood of woe and misery unmoved, whose principles are corrupt, who are Southern sympathizers, and who would preserve slavery as it is. Now, friends, watch the next sentence. Red words. In positions of trust in the Northern Army now, there are men who are rebels at heart, who value the life of a soldier no more than they would the life of a dog. What race were the men who were fighting in the Northern Army? I'm showing this is a heart issue, a sin issue. The generals, leaders in the Northern Army, how did they treat even their own soldiers? Come back, Christian. No more than they would the life of a dog. Last sentence. They can see them torn and mangled and dying by thousands, and they were unmoved. That's why our battle is not political, my friends. It is the presentation first, the reception, and the presentation of the everlasting gospel. That's why we don't advocate voting, my friends. What are you voting for? All right, let's move on. You know, let me say this, my friends. I shared the account of the Samaritan. What about Moses as an example? How are we to respond? How must we react? I'm going to give you a synopsis of what the solutions should be. It's a spiritual one. Because nowadays I'm hearing preachers, pastors, people among us who are reactionary, who are saying it's time to take up arms. That we as Seventh-day Adventists should not be pacifists. That Christ told his disciples, go by swords. Swords, plural, he said, swords. It's time to pick up carnal weapons. Friends, biblically speaking, where can we justify that? It's not biblical. Go read the rest of it and see what Christ said. Put up your sword, Peter. All right, let's move on. Let's take a look at Moses. Did Moses understood the system of slavery in Egypt? In the first 40 years, what did Moses do? Did he pick up arms, carnal weapons? Yes, he slew a man, a slave master. He did. What happened? He fled for his life. Was that God's way? No, it was not. Then he had to be what? Re-educated in the wilderness for 40 more years. Then God sent him to whom? The leaders of the system of slavery. The racist. By the way, what was the race of the Egyptians? What was the race of the Egyptians? Let me get back here. And he went to the leaders. Pharaoh, want to ask you a question. Did Pharaoh make it easier for the people now? No, he made it worse. Take away their resources. But they must now work double, work treble to present the same tale of bricks. The pressure, the slavery became worse for God's people. However, that was God's way of addressing the system of racism, prejudice, and slavery. And what did God do next? He took matters in his own hands and sent what? 10 fiery plagues upon that system. The system's controllers, Pharaoh, his household. That's it, friends. That's one perspective. There are others. That's one I'm giving you now. It's only part one. That's one. So how can we say that should not be the way how we must respond? That's called ignorance. And you call yourself pastors and preachers and God's Bible-believing people. So if we go to the leaders, it may get worse. And friends, it's getting worse for the colored people. It's getting worse. But that's one of God's ways to bring about reconciliation, resolution. And what will God bring next? The 7 last plagues. Desire of Ages, page 32 says, God's providence knows no haste and no delay. Book that. Desire of Ages, page 32. Let's move on. Let's come to Seventh-day Adventists now. Because maybe you thought that this was just for outsiders. Volume 1, 358. Because friends, come back, Christian. The SDA people, for the most part, cannot say much in this crisis to the world. You know why? The world will say, get your house in order first. Because you have segregation among your own people. I have heard testimonies. Colored people have gone to predominantly white churches. And the ushers at the door say, you have come to the wrong church. Your church is down the road across Division Street, across the railroad track. That's where you'll find your church. Friends, don't get me. I'm going to cover these. Hold on. Come back here, friends. It says, there are a few in the ranks of Sabbath keepers who sympathize with the slaveholder. When they embraced the truth, they did not leave behind them all the errors that they have, that all the errors they should have left. Thank you. They need a more thorough draft from the cleansing fountain of truth. So it's a possibility. We must add this sin to our Bible study guide when preparing people to be baptized as SDA Seventh-day Adventists. If you agree, say amen. Those of you alive, come back, Christian. Red words in the middle. Some have brought along with them their old political prejudices, which are not in harmony with the principles of the truth. They maintain that the slave is the property of the master and should not be taken from him. My friends, it goes on. I was shown that it mattered not how much the master had paid for human flesh and the souls of men. God gives him no title to human souls, and he has no right to hold them as his property. Christ died for the whole human family, whether white or black. God has made man a free moral agent, whether white or black. The institution of slavery does away with this and permits man to exercise over his fellow man a power which God has never granted him. Red words. The slave master has dared assume the responsibility of God over his slave, and accordingly, the slave master will be accountable for the sins, have mercy, ignorance, and vice of the slave. Watch this now. The wrath of God has slumbered. Seven last plagues, second death. Do you see how it connects with Moses? The plagues. The wrath of God has slumbered for the slave master and those who are racist, but it will awake and be put out without mixture or mercy. What text comes to mind, those of you who are alive? Is it not Revelation 14? And that verse 9, verse 10, and chapter 15, verse 1, and chapter 16, verse 1, verse 2? That means those who are racist, those who support the institution of slavery and the system of racism, laws to keep under the colored people, are classed in with those who will receive the mark of the beast. That being said, I should stop right there. That means it's the same everlasting gospel that we will find the solution to all of our problems. Friends, read the rest of this. Satan is the great leader in all rebellion. You think Satan is just for one race and against the other race? No, he's against one group of people who receive and present present truth. Whether black or white, let's go on. God is punishing the North, punishing the South. Red words now. Again, that was the context. Sister White is addressing a professed Seventh-day Adventist. Red words, I saw that you, Brother A, put your name there if you're racist. Put your name there if you have voted in men as mayors, sheriffs, governors, senators, presidents who are racist, Brother A, have permitted your political principles to destroy your judgment and your love for the truth. They are eating out true godliness from your heart. You have never looked upon slavery in the right light. And your views of this matter have thrown you on the side of the rebellion. Which rebellion? The southern state, the southern side. But Sister White begins by saying, come on, Christian, Satan was the first great leader in the rebellion. You are an agent of Satan. You have thrown yourself on the side of the rebellion, which was stirred up by Satan and the papacy and his hosts. Your views of slavery cannot harmonize with the sacred important truth for this time. All right, last two lines. You must yield your views or you must give up the truth. Mercy, friends. So there's no such thing as a racist Seventh-day Adventist. That's one perspective. But there are racist professed Seventh-day Adventists. Last line. Both cannot be cherished in the same heart, for they are at war with each other. And that's why the everlasting gospel must go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Oh, friends, I must come back for part two. It goes on. The same person, which application for all of us, but notwithstanding, or the light given, you have given publicity to your sentiments. Unless you undo what you have done, it will be the duty of God's people to publicly withdraw their sympathy, withdraw their fellowship from you. Fellowship? Fellowship? Could this be a point on which people are disfellowshipped? Let's read on. Withdraw their sympathy and fellowship from you in order to save the impression which must go out in regard to us as a people. We must let it be known that we have no such ones in our fellowship. What would Sister White say today within the SDA denomination? By the way, not on the conference lines, but even among so-called self-supporting ministries and churches, even amongst professed independent churches of the Seventh-day Adventist Conference of Churches. Several years back, my wife and I, when we began Save to Serve, we were called to do an evangelistic outreach in another state, in America here. And the host who invited us divulged to us that some of the attendees and the planners were asking what my race was, because they were ignorant of who I was. And the host was simply saying that it's a possibility that those who would attend, these are SDA people now primarily, and of course they would invite outsiders, are racist. I declined. Prayerfully, after praying and fasting, we declined. We did not attend that so-called evangelistic meeting. So I'm not speaking as one who has not experienced what I'm dealing with here, friend. And someone had the unmitigated gall, audacity to say, I can speak on race relations because I'm a Jamaican. I'm not from America. I'm going to save those points until later because I must close. My time is over. Let's move on. Christian, come back. It says here, friends, we must let it be known We must let it be known that we have no such wants in our fellowship, that we will not walk with them. We will not walk with them in church capacity. Hear me. If you know you have so-called brothers and sisters within your churches, home churches, conference-run churches, regular lines, or self-supporting churches, irregular lines, and you still sit with them, you are partakers of their sins. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You are just as guilty as they are. And friends, let me add, there are some ministries within the SDA denomination, such as ASI and others, and many of their leaders are racist by their policies in who gets funding and who does not get funding, and who gets opportunities and who don't get similar opportunities in ministry. You think I'm going to bite my lip and say, shh, don't say anything? And yet we write articles from our conferences and from the divisions reacting, responding to the death of George Floyd by the hand of police officers, primarily Derek Chauvin. When we are committing similar atrocities of racism in these churches, all that is needed is the opportunity to kill, because it's sin, and the root, the fruit of sin is death. Understand that, my friends. This is serious. It's a crisis in our churches. And I close right here. I'll come back. Let me see my time. I did not want to prolong and extend so long. All right, friends. I have seen this going on. Not only in ASI, as I said. And again, I don't know all the policies there. But I've heard from men involved with ASI. And I've seen the fruits. I've seen also conference committees. The men who sit on those committees are racist. By the way, let me just add this. We have conferences in the southern states of America, within regional conferences, the Black Conference, who the conference presidents will not hire pastors from the Caribbean. No, they will not do it. They'd rather hire their own colored preachers and marginalize pastors from the Caribbean, even when it is clear that one should be placed above another because he's more suited for that position, for that campaign of evangelism to oversee this church. Do you know what's sad? A travesty? That in some of these churches, the membership is predominantly West Indian, and they will not place a West Indian qualified pastor over those churches. I know of what I speak. It's sickening in the heart and the sight of God. You say we're going to heaven. Which heaven? You mean this one right here? That's all. That's all you will see. Not the true heaven. Third heaven. Let me close by saying this. No wonder Christ had to cleanse the temple twice. Our hearts need cleansing. And we can protest all we want, march all we want, even though we don't support that. And we can do all these reactionary videos and write papers in response to what's happening in society. But what's happening in your heart, in my heart, in the sight of God? I close. Father in heaven, we thank you for this midday power surge. It was a nuance comparative to what we have been dealing with, but not so much different, because the issue is sin. It's only a branch of what we have been addressing. And how dare we overlook this crisis in the land? We would be hypocrites. So Father, please, whatever I failed of saying, speak to your people. Forgive me if I've said or done anything wrong. Every name mentioned, every organization, we pray for their conversion. Pray for their salvation. May us as your people not be found wanting in these last days. Bring us back at the appointed time is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Maranatha.